Junior day is finally here, and every time you turn around, the list gets more and more impressive.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Friday. Boy, a lot's happened this week. A ton's happened this week. You started off with a great holiday. Then you have snowpocalypse. Your roads are frozen over in a lot of places. You get past that. And now you're here to the weekend. You had a week off of basketball, and all we've had to think about is basketball a week away, and then you're building a crescendo towards this junior day that every time, literally every time you pop open Twitter, a new top prospect is being added to the list. So that kicks off tomorrow. You got some guys coming in tonight. We're going to preview the massive weekend, talk about and then obviously we're going to switch to basketball at the end and talk about Broome, who Jani Broome, who actually got a little bit of practice time in today. But before we do that, guys, you need to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. You get to take $25 off of your annual membership for 2025. Jump in the conversation. You get the same, get great information, great relationships. It's an awesome community, and then you'll have a lot of fun. You can take place in the barn takeovers on Thursday. Submit your questions. We'll feature you on the show. All that good stuff. A lot of fun. Check us out. We'll keep you updated also on Junior Day weekend as the weekend rolls on as well. So check us out, thebarnauburn.com. This weekend is massive. There's really no other way to put it. I know that everybody that, you know, when you pop on my show or whatever, you may roll your eyes a little bit at the superlative words and things that I use to talk about certain things. But I can honestly say that this junior day is a little bit, I don't even want to say a little bit, it's unprecedented as far as the amount of talent that's going to be here at this point of the year. I went back and tried to look at many years in the past. Auburn's had junior days, okay? Auburn had a junior day last year. But when you look at the caliber of players, the number of players that are coming in this weekend, there's really none that compares. There's none that are even get close. Honestly, you have to go to Big Cat Weekend to find this amount of top-end players. And we're going to go into detail, but you got to go back to look at some Big Cat Weekends to find as many top-end players that are going to be in Auburn this weekend, should all of them show up. Okay. So let's just looking at last year, I don't know that Auburn really had a big time publicized junior day event last year. I'm sure they had a weekend they called junior day, but just to have an actual event that was like built up, you built a crescendo of momentum, you advertised it, all that kind of stuff. Don't really remember that last year. I think they did have a good weekend, sort of the middle of January, middle towards the end of January, similar to this weekend time frame. And you had some big-time prospects. I think you had Julian Lewis, Zealous Hicks. You had some guys, some big-time recruits that came in, but not anything along the numbers that Auburn had this year. You have to go to, like, the first day of spring practice, like the first weekend of spring practice, to really find a comparable recruiting weekend at this point of the year. And at that point in time, Auburn, I think on March 13th of last year, they had 22 total visitors that came in. I assume that was for like the first weekend or so of spring practice. Auburn's got 35 guys on the list this weekend. For tomorrow, 35 dudes to come in tomorrow. And that March 13th number, that date last year, you had six top 100 players visit. So it was a pretty good weekend. Auburn's got 14 top 100 players scheduled to come in this weekend. That's including the number two, the number three, and the number seven player in the entire country. Think about that. Okay, we're talking. This is January 25th. Like, you got a lot of the year left before these guys sign, and you're bringing in 35 guys this weekend, and it's not just any random Joe. These are some of the best players in the country. I mean, right there, you got three out of the top 10 in the whole country, not just the Southeast, the whole country. They're coming to visit you on January 25th. It's pretty crazy. Like I said, there's really no junior day that compares. I mean, I've followed Auburn recruiting for a long time. There's really no junior day that I can really think of that even comes remotely close to this weekend. You have to go to Big Cat weekends. You have to look at Big Cat weekends to compare when you're talking about the number of total prospects. And think about that. Big Cat weekend is a day on the calendar that everybody knows. Okay, Big Cat weekend is a day on the calendar that kids are starting to kind of, as they grow up in recruiting and they start getting recruited, that's a date that they're like, man, I want to make sure that I'm good enough to be on that Big Cat weekend list, because that's like the who's who. It's become a nationally known recruiting event. So it's not like it's something you throw together. That's something that's on the calendar that everybody's looking for. Hey, what's the date of Big Cat weekend? Because I want to definitely make sure that I pencil that in on my calendar. That's not what this is. This is just a junior day. And so you got to go to Big Cat weekends to compare. And if you look at last year's Big Cat weekend, Auburn had, I think, 10 top 100 players at Big Cat weekend this past year. So remember, there's 14 that are going to be here tomorrow. That's incredible. That's incredible. And there was those were all great players. 10 out of the top 100. None of those were top 10 players. There's three top 10 players that are coming this weekend. It's just this is what you have to do. Now I know everybody's going to. I know I can already see some of the comments. Recruiting's great, but you got to win. When are we going to start seeing wins? When are these kids going to start ending up and having success on the field? Oh, they're going to all transfer if you don't start winning. Everybody knows. You got to understand that when we're talking about recruiting, that doesn't change the fact that you have to win football games. Okay? That doesn't change the fact that if you don't start showing success on the field, you can only sell hype for so long. Okay? That's without discussion. Okay? We understand that. That's not breaking news to anybody, okay? The importance of building a program, though, has to start here. And if you're selling, hey, I need to get two or three or four, whatever, top classes where we can get this roster at a level where we can compete for championships. Seven wins isn't the goal. Championships are the goal. These are the things that you have to do to get there. And that's why I've always tried to have as much patience as I possibly can with this staff, because they get it when it comes to the things you have to do off the field to build a program. Yes, it will have to translate, and it'll have to translate this year, or they will lose a lot of momentum. A lot of the effort and the tireless hours that they've put in, they could lose a lot of that should they not have the success that you would think you would get when you start seeing recruiting results like you're seeing. Okay, so I understand all that. Okay, but this staff gets it off the field. And I'll give you an example of just like the little things. Okay, you go visit C.D. Morgan. Obviously, he's one of the top recruits in the country. He's visiting tomorrow. He is not playing basketball next year. He's a big-time basketball player for Benjamin Russell. He's one of their better basketball players. I think they would say he is their best basketball player. He's not going to play in his senior year because he wants to graduate early. So I think this was one of their last home games or something like that. This was one of their home games, or either they scheduled their home, they scheduled their senior night for like last night or the night before last, which is – you know, obviously honoring all the seniors. Well, he took part in it because that was going to be his last home basketball game. That was going to be his senior night. Okay, so he was going to take part in that ceremony. We have like three or four coaches go. I think you had Derek Nix was there, Marcus Davis was there. You had a bunch of coaches go to this basketball game. Now, granted, it's in Alex City, so it's not that far away. But those are the little things that this staff just gets, and what that equates to is having 35 prospects for a junior day. That equates to ending up with three top 10 players coming to visit you for junior day, January 25th. That equates to 14 out of the top 100 players coming to visit you on January 25th. Doing those little things is what gets these guys in the door. And once they get here, that's when the magic happens. That's when they turn the heat up. And that's what I love about Hugh Freeze and this staff. And what I've always hoped you would see out of an Auburn head coach and program, because there's just something about Auburn that you can't put a value on. There's something about getting here. There's something about when you just do the right things off the field. If you get kids here, if you work your tail off recruiting wise, you can have high level success. You can get high level players consistently at Auburn. Now you just have to go win. They got this part down. This part, there's no argument. You got this part down. Now you just got to go win. So this weekend could be a lot of fun. Omar Mabson, he's a 2025 recruit. Official visit starts today. Obviously, Auburn expects him. We've talked about him for weeks now, reclassifying. Auburn expects him to be, hopefully, that last piece of the 2025 class. Maybe you go ahead and end it this weekend. Who knows? And then you got that official visit, and then obviously junior day starts tomorrow. They're going to come in, be wined and dined, and then go to the basketball game that evening. I love that it's a night basketball game too, because you get to get the full day of treatment, and then you get to cap it off by going to a really electric basketball game. It's a perfect setup, man. It is really a perfect setup, and I would expect Auburn to make a lot of headway with a lot of these guys, and who knows, you could come out with a couple of commits as well. So big junior day tomorrow. We've been waiting on it for weeks, and it looks good. I'm wondering if Auburn has sort of taken my advice, or is my theory on quarterback recruiting playing out. We'll talk about that here, I guess, right now. So if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned that Auburn visited Jared Curtis, the number one quarterback, I think, in the country. Number one or number two quarterback in the country. Ken Austin, I think, visited Jared. And it launched into a discussion on roster management at the quarterback position. What does it look like in today's age to really manage the quarterback roster correctly? You know, not very long ago, I was having arguments and I was talking about, no, you got to stack quarterbacks every single year. That's just the way you do it. You stack quarterbacks every single year. And then you try to get the best quarterback you can every single year, and then you let the chips fall where they may. Well, the problem with that is nowadays, and I knew it then, but I've just never saw it play out like it played out in Auburn's quarterback room this past season, where when you have kids that are sort of really bunched up together as far as classes go. You know, you have a really talented junior, really talented sophomore, really talented freshman, and there's no separation in years between them. It's very hard for a guy that's the class right behind the starter to sit there and wait for that maybe 1 year that you get to play. It's really, really tough now because there's so many opportunities for these kids to go elsewhere. There's so many opportunities for these kids to go find playing time elsewhere. And you saw that. You saw Hank go to Iowa. And, you know, I know Iowa just brought in a Division II guy that threw for 1 million yards that's going to come in that he's going to have to compete with. But still, maybe that guy's only a one-year guy. So then Hank could jump in the following year versus having to be behind Jackson for maybe 2 years if you can't beat him out. Same thing with Walker. You know, Walker maybe thought, hey, I'll come here, I'll be here for 2 years, and then I'll get a chance to start. But now it looks like, because of the situation you have a quarterback, hey, now it looks like maybe he'd have to wait for 3 years. That's just a little bit too much, I think, nowadays, with all the opportunities and the ease of being able to just, hey, I'm just going to go over here now, and it's going to be a little bit better depth chart situation. So we talked about quarterback roster management. What do you do? Do you try to go get the best quarterback you can get every single year? Do you spend those resources? They're expensive. Do you spend those resources for guys sitting on the bench that may in turn not play? Do you decide that, hey, it's worth it just from a marketing standpoint? In other words, I'm just going to go get the best quarterback I can get. Who knows if he'll ever play at Auburn, but it'll help other players see that and want to be a part of it. There's so many different theories to go. And then kind of where I like led myself was, maybe you start looking at going every other year to get that blockbuster guy. Maybe you don't try to go and get the best singular guy you can get every single year. Maybe you go get, so you got a Deuce Knight, who's, you know, five-star quarterback, almost a consensus five-star, very, very talented, all the gifts that you could ever ask for in a quarterback for Hugh Freeze's system. You got him. Maybe in 2026, you don't try to go do all you can to get a Jared Curtis. Maybe you don't do all you can to go get another Deuce Knight. Maybe you take a guy that has, you know, good high school relationships. He's a part of a good team that's maybe got some other good players on it who could maybe be a good quarterback, has the good tools, but somebody that you can get in the boat early, somebody that you can get in the boat early and use to be a part of that, recruiting machine, sort of build the momentum there. And then, you know, in 2027, maybe you go, and then you're trying to go get your blockbuster guy for 2027. That leaves, you know, you got a, you're hopefully your 2027 bona fide starter in Deuce Knight. You got another guy that's, you know, hopefully wants to hang in there and be developed and just see what happens. And then you got, obviously, you bring in your freshman in 2027 that could be your blockbuster guy, and they're spaced out a little bit better so that they can actually see a pathway to the field versus just boom, 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 stack, 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 and then they all leave at once. You know what I mean? So I think Auburn may be looking at doing that. I mean, you got this big recruiting weekend, and you're bringing in a guy who I think is a very talented kid, Travis Burgess, from Grayson High School, big plus, awesome high school, but he's not incredibly highly rated yet. He's on a little bit lower rate. I think he's a three-star, but again, 6'5", 190, great runner, good passer. I think he completes over 60% of his passes, threw for, you know, over 2,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this past season. Played really competitive competition, played to the best competition you can play in the state of Georgia, which is just riddled with studs. And they obviously, I think they won the state championship too. So guy that knows how to win, guy that's a part of a really good program, a guy that's a pretty decent player, but not a guy that you're probably going to have to break the bank on. Not a guy that you're going to have to really just kill yourself financially, kill yourself NIL-wise to try to land. And honestly, maybe somebody you could lock up early, not somebody you're going to have to be in limbo for all year. That's another thing, man. Lock up your quarterback. Get your quarterback locked up. I like this, and I'm wondering, you know, you're having your big recruiting weekend, and this is the only quarterback you're bringing in. And he's got some really good teammates, really good teammates. You got Tyler Atkinson, who – he's not on the list right now to come in, but it wouldn't shock me if he showed up. But you do have his teammate. Where's his name? Anthony. I think it's Anthony something. He's a really good linebacker. He's got a teammate coming. I can't think of his name. He's a linebacker. It's Tyler Atkinson, and then his teammate, he's coming this weekend. So you're hoping you get one of those. If you can get him in, maybe that helps you get a foothold in Grayson. And you know that's a Kenyatta Watson thing as well, to try to, you know, get as many kids out of that Grayson High School as you possibly can, because those kids all usually end up being really good players. So I'm wondering if that's the strategy they're taking. We'll see. It's super early, but it is interesting that that's the only quarterback that they're bringing in this weekend. So we'll see how the quarterback plays out regardless. A lot of fun this weekend. It's going to cap off with a big basketball game at home versus Tennessee. We're going to talk about that right now. Obviously, you're going into it. Auburn's at the top of everybody. The only one-loss team in the country. The only undefeated team in the SEC. And it's a big matchup. It's a ranked matchup at home. What you want, another quad one opportunity. You're thinking you're probably going to have to go without Jahni Broome, but Jahni did practice yesterday in some capacity. And I think there were some that felt like, man, he's moving a lot better than we expected this weekend. We expected at this point. So yesterday was Thursday. They're going to practice again today. And I assume just test things out. I think Bruce did say on Tiger Talk last night that he is not really expecting Jahni to play this weekend, which is exactly what I would hope and assume he would say, so that you don't tip your hand to Tennessee. I don't know if you have to do an injury report. I think you probably do have to do an injury report. So we'll know for sure here pretty soon if he's going to be in or out or questionable or whatever, or probable. We'll know that pretty quickly. But man, this is a pretty big game. Like it's not a big game in the sense of like implications for the end of the year, because again, you could be you're going to be with a limited Jahni Broome at best and no Jahni Broome at worst. So this is not the full Auburn team, but they're pretty dang good even without him. You win this one, you feel like you can go to LSU and win that one. And then you have to go on the road at Oxford next week, which will be a very tough one. But then you've got through this first part of the season, this first half of the season. If you can go again, win this one, win LSU, you've got through basically this first half of the season unscathed. That really, really helps you. It really, really helps you moving forward to close out the rest of the year, because you still have a ton of quad one opportunities. If you lose it, it's not the end of the world, because you stole one at Athens. And so that kind of washes. You want to try to win all your home games and win half of your away games. Well, this just means you have to win. If you were to lose this one, it's a wash, because you won an away game. So then you just have to go win an extra away game and then don't lose any more home games. So it's not the end of the world should Auburn lose this game. But I think Auburn's going to be hype. They're going to be people probably camping out to get in there, and you're going to have that crowd packed. I'm almost a little bit, I'm fired up that the recruits get to come, but daggum, that's 35, and then probably their family and stuff. I mean, that could be 100 folks right there that maybe don't have as huge of a stake in the Auburn basketball game as fans would, but nonetheless, you want them there. You want them having fun. So big weekend, man, just all around. And you get to cap it off with a huge basketball game. And then you had Jahni practicing yesterday. If he can come back, the roof will explode and everybody will have a great time. So it's going to be a big weekend. We'll keep you posted. Definitely sign up for thebarnauburn.com and you can stay in the loop. And then we'll recap it Sunday night live. And then all next week, we'll be talking recruiting, talking Auburn basketball. A lot of fun. So, guys, another great week. Thank you guys for listening. If you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Let me know what you think about the recruiting in the comments. I pretty much respond to every single one. So let me know what you think. Let me know what you think about basketball. Let me know what you think about quarterback recruiting, all that good stuff. And we'll be back again soon to get after it. So thanks again. Great week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.